Hey, this is Alex Ross from the Penn State men's lacrosse team, and you're listening to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. Featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analysts, and my Blue Jay brother, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Dix, we have a packed show this week. We have 9 games to preview. There are 7 top 20 matchups to cover, including a 1-versus-2 matchup between number 2 Notre Dame and number 1 North Carolina. And it's the beginning of rivalry week with a good number of rivalry games. And we'll sit down with Penn State's All-American defenseman, Alex Ross, for our weekly conversation. And, of course, we'll preview all the biggest games in college lacrosse taking place this week. So, Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, this is a huge show. Huge show.
You are working me to the bone. As if I haven't called enough on TV and watched this and done that. And man, you are putting me to work this week.
Well, the schedule gods have blessed us, and it's crazy that there's 20 teams ranked in the top 20, obviously, and there are...
What, you don't say.
14 of those teams are playing each other this week.
It's time. You know, it's that time of year.
Well, I'm very excited to bring in our guest analyst and picker this week, our old friend, colleague from Inside Lacrosse, Josh Davey. Josh, how are we doing?
I'm doing awesome. It's good to see some familiar faces, some older faces, but some familiar faces.
Older faces that could figure out this software to get on here, unlike you.
Touche. Touche. Well played, sir. Well played. We're here. We made it.
So for our listeners, we go way back with Josh. We created and managed lacrosse events together at Inside Lacrosse, and Josh rose up the ranks from, I don't know, he was like an intern to irreplaceable guy we had to have on our staff full time, all the way to the director of sales. He has been the head coach at the Park School in Baltimore and Strathaven, which is outside of Philadelphia. And he's a Baltimore guy through and through, but he uprooted and followed his wife, went back to his wife's hometown and lives outside of Philadelphia now. And he currently leads up the lacrosse sales efforts for New Balance. So Josh, is that a good synopsis of like the last few years of Josh Davey's life?
Yeah, it's perfect. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. I miss Baltimore for sure. You know, still have the Ravens roots, and I still get down to IL every once in a while and see Terry, and I talked to Kaplan today on the phone. So yeah, I definitely have a lot of Philly flavor, but yeah, definitely, you know, the 410 is where we always come back to. So yeah, no, I'm excited about this still. Excited to talk some lacrosse, and yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
Let's get right into it. There are 9 games of preview, and we're going to do it in like 2 batches, right? So we're going to take 5 of the games and group them together, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on those. And Josh and I will pick a winner for all 9 games, and then we'll dive in a little deeper on some of the, you know, what we think are the marquee of marquee games at the end of this. So let's start in the Ivy League in one of those rivalry games. Penn, who's number 18 this week, will take on number 3 Princeton in New Jersey. Penn is 2-2 in the Ivy League, 5-5 overall, but we've talked about them a lot this season. They're better than their record indicates. They've played a tough schedule. Princeton may be one of the best teams in the country. They're 8-2 overall, 2-1 in the Ivy. Game's at noon. It's on ESPN+. The Tigers come into this game as a 4.5 goal favorite. Dixie, I'll give you the first crack at this one.
Look, this is the time of year we start looking at conference standings and we start looking at the metrics for NCAA tournament selection, mainly RPI. And Princeton, according to unofficial calculations, has an RPI of 3. Penn is sitting at 19, with their best win being Yale. So Penn's got work to do. This is a game, if they can knock off the Tigers, would be a huge step in trying to bolster their resume for the NCAA tournament. And then when you look at the Ivy League standings, Brown and Dartmouth 0-3. They're 0-3. So for all intents and purposes, I think, you know, they Obviously, they're not mathematically eliminated, but I think that they're in a really tough spot. Penn is tied with Yale for that number four spot at 2-2. Only four teams make the tournament. So obviously, this is a gigantic game for the Quakers. They're big, they're physical, but Princeton is so skilled and so slick. Really a must-win game for Penn. And then for Princeton, it's just, you know, looking to continue to bolster their NCAA tournament, resume to maybe, you know, grab the overall number one seed in a couple of weeks.
Josh, your take?
I mean, I think Princeton, well, first of all, do you guys see Princeton's debut in some new helmets this week? Do you see some of the stuff they post on Instagram? They're rocking some fresh, like, orange lids with tigers on the side. So a big fan of that, one. Two, the Kabiri kid is, like, maybe one of my favorite kids to watch. The way he handles the ball, the way he gets out of his stick, his quick release. So, Penn, young team, new coach, a lot to figure out. I think they're still figuring out their identity. I have a hard time seeing them upsetting Tigers. Is this in Princeton or is this at Franklin Field?
This is in Princeton.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods Stadium, as Dixie calls it. I'm going to take Princeton as well. I think you're saying you're picking Princeton, Josh.
Correct,
I'm taking the Tigers too in this one. By the way, I tallied up my season total. It's not great.
Where are you?
I'm 25-18 on the season, picking the games.
If you're in the NBA, you'd be looking at like a 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah,
probably.
Which is why I'm adding the games, Dixie. Maybe I'm trying to get boost.
Yeah, you're trying to catch up.
All right. So moving on. This is a good one. Number 10, Johns Hopkins. Coming off a big comeback win last week against Penn State. 7-3 overall, 2-1 in the Big Ten. Going to Columbus, Ohio to take on number 14-ranked Ohio State, who's 8-3 overall and 1-2 in the Big Ten. This game is also noon. Fans can catch it on the Big Ten networks. Surprisingly, the Blue Jays come into this game as a 1.5-goal favorite on the road, but the number is real low. It's over-under is 19.5, so don't expect a whole lot of goals in this game. Josh, I'll let you start.
Yeah, I feel like both teams have been so up and down. I can't figure out what team you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. I feel like Hopkins, that big win last week, is going to give them some juice heading into another Big Ten rival. I like the Blue Jays, but again, I'm talking to two Blue Jay legends here, so I would defer to you guys, but I lean the boys from Homewood on this one for sure.
So when you look at Hopkins' metrics, an RPI of 5 and a strength of schedule of 1. So the Blue Jays last weekend was their second win of the season where they overcame a deficit of 5 goals or more. They trailed Penn State 9-4. They trailed Virginia 11-4, came back and won both of those games. I think Hopkins plays their best when things are jumbled, when things are chaotic. Their 6-on-6 offense sometimes can be pedestrian at best. But they're facing an Ohio State team that's in RPI trouble. Right now, an RPI of 17. They lost Russell Melendez last weekend to a torn ACL. So the Melendez storyline is kaput. Russell Melendez facing his old team. Big Tasty was terrific against Maryland. 14 saves as the Buckeyes went zone against the Terrapins. I did not expect that. But Maryland got out to that 4-0 lead. But you look at the three Big Ten games for Ohio State, 6 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals. Their offense is just not clicking. And they have players, they have pieces. They just, haven't been able to really put it together. I think the first team that gets to 10 absolutely definitely wins. But it might not take that much. You mentioned the very modest under in this game. Critical matchup. This is a must win for Ohio State.
I agree. I think it's a must win for both teams, really.
I think Hopkins has a little bit more breathing room.
Sure.
You don't want to drop it because that'll definitely hurt their metrics, but this is one Ohio State needs to get a signature win. They have the Georgetown win, but they need an in-conference win.
Tough picking against Ohio State at home, but Blue Jays 1.5 fair. I'm going to take the Jays in this game. Josh, who do you like?
I'm with you. I think the Blue Jays, I think Dixie hit the nail on the head. First team to 10 wins this one.
All right, our next game, Michigan with a big comeback win on Sunday. They're 4-7, 1-2 in the Big Ten. They will go to number 11 ranked Penn State, who's 6-4 and 2-1. This game's at 1 o'clock. It's on the Big Ten Network. Before we get to this game, let's bring in our guest this week, Penn State All-American defenseman Alex Ross. Please welcome into the show an All-American defender, Alex Ross. Alex, thank you for joining us on the D-Flying Dixie podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Alex, good to sit down and talk with you. I'm going to sound a little weird right now, but I've been watching you play lacrosse for a really, really long time. You were a member of that 2022 Annapolis Hawks team, and I helped coach, and my son used to play for the 2022 Rough Riders. And you guys had a lot of epic battles over the years, some really, really good games. But that 22 Annapolis Hawks team, there's a lot of guys now playing at a really, really high level. What are your memories of that group? And obviously, you probably still keep in touch with a lot of those guys, although probably not trading a whole lot of game secrets these days.
Yeah, I remember those Rough Riders games. Those were fun. It was a bit of a rivalry. But yeah, I mean, that team was full of incredible players. And one of my buddies, Rage Ripley, his dad, Tom Ripley, was our coach. And he just pieced together an unbelievable team. And I mean, you can see what the production is now at the collegiate level. People are just killing it all across the country. And some of those guys are still my best friend to this day. We definitely keep in touch. And some of the best memories, most fun I've ever had playing lacrosse was with that Hawks team.
What can you tell us about, you know, a younger Riley Figueres or a younger Richard Checo or a younger Mikey Weishauer?
I mean, those guys were just fun to practice with every day. Like on the field, you can see it's the same thing that they're doing right now. They're killing it right now. They were killing it back then. But when we were all playing club, it was just fun messing around with them. Mikey was always a year older than us, and then he joined our Hawks team. After I don't even know who he played for, but he joined our Hawks team, I want to say in like seventh grade. So he was always fun to play with. He's still one of my best friends. Riley and Checo, they were both at St. John's and we all went to Spalding. But they were some of my best friends playing club with. They were so fun to be around, just like hanging out after games, in between games at tournaments. Like that's some of the best lacrosse memories I've ever had.
Yeah, yeah. D-Fly's going through it now with his daughter is in sixth grade, so. The HOCO, yeah. Lucky it's a girls' program. when you look back and you pick up a defense pole, when did you start playing defense, and what attracted you to the position?
I started playing defense in like fifth grade, I think, and I kind of started playing just because I wasn't very good at offense, and I guess I just hit the ground running with it and just stuck with it. So. But I was always a middie before then, but I mean, so was everybody. I guess I just wasn't very good, so I had to stay on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, I mean, I think one day we were just short on numbers at defense. I don't even really remember. It's just what my parents have always said, but we were short on numbers on defense, and I was next man up, I guess, and then I just kind of never switched back to offense.
I guess you consider yourself lucky you didn't get put in a goal.
Very.
What players or player or players have you tried to emulate your game after, if there are any?
I'd say some players that I always look up to were like JT Giles Harris. I mean, he's ridiculous at on-ball defense, so you can just like learn from all these guys. But then just like fun people to watch highlight tapes of, like Chris Walker, Michael Ubriaco. So just trying to take bits and pieces from everybody.
And Penn State always seems to have that guy on defense, and this year you're the guy amongst a really talented group of both poles as well as shorties. Who has had the most impact on you at Penn State in terms of a teammate?
In terms of a teammate, who's had the most impact on me? I'd go with Kevin Parnum and Jack Frack. Just looking up to older guys, people on the team right now. Obviously, like we do it every single day together. We get through it all, like all the adversity we face. But just looking at older guys who have just came before me, I'd say Frack and Parnum are the two that stick out the most. I don't want to leave anybody out because there's so many people that have helped, like a Jack Posey or a Brett Funk. But those two in particular, like they were some of my best friends that graduated last year. Playing with them was an unbelievable experience. Frack being from Annapolis too. Even though he's a goalie, it's just like those are two of the best teammates I've ever had. Like off the field, on the field, no matter what. They're there for you. They're there to have fun with you. Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget playing with those guys.
There's not a long line of Annapolis area people who have gone to Penn State. So what was it about Coach Tambroni and the Penn State program that attracted you and wanted you to go to school there?
He gave a recruiting pitch that I'm not sure if he still gives it, but it kind of resonated with me and my family, was that you see the blue bloods and all the blue-collar teams. You can either go to a house that's already built or you can go build your own house, and which one would you rather live in? You're the house that you built, the house that you put all that blood, sweat, and tears into, and then you actually get to see the final result, or would you go to a house that you're living in somewhere? You're living somewhere where somebody already else built it. Like, it's not truly yours. You're kind of just inheriting it. So kind of that whole message, and that's not just a recruiting pitch. That's kind of the way it is every single day here, is like, we always say we're stacking bricks, brick by brick, every single day. So it is, it's not just a recruiting pitch. It's a way of life up here, and we're hoping to finally get that finished product.
You're right in the middle of Big Ten play, and I've been lucky enough to watch this thing since day one of the conference. A lot of us describe it as a gauntlet, rock fight, street fight, whatever. This is your fourth year playing in it. How would you best describe the Big Ten Men's Lacrosse Conference?
I forget who said it, but I saw something that somebody described as the AFC North of college lacrosse, and that kind of seems perfect as the way to describe it. Like, it's a bunch of teams. It almost feels like every week's a rivalry. Like, you got a lot of respect on the field, but you also don't really like those guys. Like, everybody kind of values the same things, like the tough plays that not every team is willing to make. And that kind of, it makes it so fun, but it also makes it so tough. And that's kind of just the Big Ten's reputation.
When you take on Michigan, it'll be the last home game at Panzer for this year. It's hard to believe that it's happened so quickly. Senior day. What is that atmosphere like, and what's that moment going to be like for you when you play Michigan?
It'll be a little surreal. Feels like it went by a little too fast, but I mean, I don't want to let the moment get too big, because we still got, like, the season, we still got wins. Like, hopefully we can earn the right to play on Panzer again, whether it's in Big Ten playoffs or a home playoff game. So we don't want to look too far ahead, but we also want to earn the right. So it is senior day, and it's, like, tough looking back on all 4 years. Like, feels like it went by in the blink of an eye. But, I mean, the memories, the friends, the just relationships that we've built here will last a lifetime. And it's more than just lacrosse here. It's, like, truly a brotherhood. Everybody says it, but feel like we really mean it here. And that's something that will just, like, last a lifetime, like I said.
All right, ready for some quick hitters here?
Got it.
All right. Who is your all-time favorite sports team? Any sport, any pro, college, favorite team?
Not even close, Baltimore Ravens.
I thought he was a Ravens fan. I didn't want to blow that question by asking if he was a Ravens fan.
But I knew it was coming. I just knew it was coming. So how do you feel like the offseason moves were?
For the Ravens?
Yeah.
I love it. I love Mentor. I love the trade to get Trey Hendrickson, just smarter than the Crosby trade. Save some money. Get the same player. We're dialed for next year. We get a healthy Lamar. Super Bowl.
All right. What's the best Penn State lacrosse tradition?
There's a few things we do that everybody does, like alumni weekend. That's obviously a great senior day, and just like a bunch of big stuff like that. One thing we do every year, we kind of do it over spring break, is we got a foosball table in the locker room, and we'll do a March Madness style bracket. And you just get randomly assigned a partner, like coaches play, or director of ops plays, or trainer plays, and it's just really fun. You, over spring break, nobody's got class. It's just something to do, something to stay in the locker room. So we'll just make a bracket, and then March Madness style go all the way through.
Nice. Why do you wear number 6?
That's the number they gave me. Not much of a story behind it.
About half the players are like, I didn't want it to this. It meant so much. And then half was like, that's just the number I got, and I just work it.
Yeah, they texted us a number of, like, when we were coming in freshman year, they gave us a list of numbers that were open, and 6 was the only single-digit number. So tried to grab that one, got lucky enough to get it, and just kept it all 4.
Pretty good lineage of lefty 6 defenseman, one of our favorites, Brian Volker, from back at the Hopkins days. So,
yeah.
Well done.
All right, your family's in town for a game. Where's the best food in State College?
That's food in State College. After games, we always go to this place called the Tavern. Used to go to the place called Local Whiskey, but not anymore. We go to this place called the Tavern. They got really good food, and we'll get a bunch of people, a bunch of families, and it's kind of just like a really cool section. Like, we'll go to like this one corner of the restaurant, and it's just everybody's families hanging out, having fun, kind of like just talking to each other, like relax a little bit after a game and enjoy the weekend.
Sounds great. I think last time we had Coach Tambroni on, he mentioned a place called Gigi's Southern Table. You ever been there?
It's good Italian food, yeah. That place is money, but it's a little bit off campus.
Yeah. And not only did Tambroni, is that Jeff's favorite, but that's where TJ Malone said he got digits from a waitress one time. Remember that?
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. Who's the best cook or chef on the Nittany Lion lacrosse team?
His ego is going to go through the roof when I say this, so I hope he doesn't listen. But Will Cosson, he's pretty good on the grill. I gotta pay him his respect there.
Nice. What's your favorite road venue to play in the Big Ten?
In the Big Ten, I'd have to go with Homewood Field, just because growing up in Annapolis, that's about 45 minutes north from me. Like, those are just always the games I go to as a kid. So feels like a little bit of a full circle moment just being able to play there. Because every time there's a big game on Homewood, when I was a little kid, I was always in the stands.
In your bio on the Penn State website, it says one of your hobbies is surfing. How did you get into that, and where is your favorite place to surf?
That's a little bit of a lie. I'm not the greatest surfer. I just kind of put that like freshman year, I think. And we spent a lot of time at the beach, so it's not a complete lie. But, I mean, I'm not nasty at surfing. It's just something I used to do when I was a little kid.
Boogie boarding. You know, this is like riding waves. Okay, that counts.
Yeah, all that.
You have a spot? You got Ocean City, or are you like Rehoboth, Dewey? Where's your?
Yeah, hang out in Ocean City, Maryland a lot. Go down to ACT if we ever would surf.
All right. Besides the men's lacrosse team, which Penn State team do you have the most friends on?
Most friends on? I'd have to go with Penn State field hockey team.
Last question. Dixie or I walk into the Penn State locker room. Who is running the aux, and what are we most likely to hear play?
There's a lot of guys that love to think they run the aux every day. Everybody loves to go up, throw their song in cue. So you're going to get a little bit of everything. A guy like Mark McKeon, you're going to get some 80s classic rock. Will Cosson, you'll get some EDM. Luke Scarpello likes to take over a lot. He'll give you literally any genre. But we got too many guys trying to steer the boat, so... I don't know. I can't give you one person, and it kind of turns into a blend of everything. But, yeah, you never know what you're going to get. You're going to walk in one day, and maybe Ryan O'Connor is playing a little – he likes to play his sad music.
That's what Dan likes. Dan likes ballads and tearjerkers.
Sure.
Big Sinead O'Connor guy.
That's it. So is this a 2026 issue? Like in years past, was there like a main person, or is it just sort of like a – that's the way it works in the locker room.
I don't know. I don't think we've ever had one. We might need to do that. It's not a bad idea. Just one person on aux.
Yeah, there's some teams that have like the go-to guy.
It's cool to have variety.
It is. Variety's great.
As long as it doesn't get aggressive.
Yeah.
As long as you don't give it to one of the D-Barts, one of the D-Bart brothers.
Oh, man, you got three of them.
Yeah. They get their hands on a little too much. They just blast rap music.
I love it. Hey, Alex, thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast. Best of luck to you and the Nittany Lions throughout the rest of the season.
Really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Dixie, Penn State looking to rebound. This team has been up and down all season, but they come into this game as a 6.5-goal favorite. I think that might be like one of the biggest margins we've seen on any game that we've talked about this season.
That's a fat line. They're coming off of a tough loss to Johns Hopkins. RPI currently around 9, strength of schedule 6. So great metrics for Penn State. But you're right. They've got head-scratching losses this year to both Villanova and Navy, as Alex mentioned in sitting down with him. And that was an improbable win by the Blue Jays last weekend. And Penn State, they've never won at Homewood Field. That is just a place that has not worked out for the Nittany Lions. But it's senior day. They're going to be focused. I have a ton of respect for Kevin Connery in Michigan. They were down on their senior day last weekend against Rutgers. And in our halftime interview with Coach Connery, I just said, what was the message in the locker room? He's like, just play like Wolverines. Come out and leave it all in the field. And they did. I mean, they came out like gangbusters and scored 3 goals in 44 seconds to completely change the tenor of that game. Can they carry that momentum into State College, or is Penn State just an angry bunch of dudes waiting to get back on the winning side of things?
Yeah, I agree. I think Penn State is an angry bunch of dudes. I love the Kyle Lehman kid. I coached against him when he was at Wissahickon when I was at Strathaven. It was one of the better
teams. Say that again?
He played at Wissahickon.
I just like hearing that.
That's cool. Wissahickon. Wissahickon.
Shout out to Frank Griswack, a loyal listener of the show.
What?
Athletic wow. Hall of Famer.
He's from Wissahickon?
He's
I think
from
it's up Blue... in like Ambler. It's like Ambler, from, PA.
Griswack is from Bluebell, but he went to Wissahickon High with Mike.
Gotcha. I'm familiar with Bluebell.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. When we played him, we were not having a good year, and we played really well in the first half, but they knew that we weren't that good, so Lehman didn't even play in the first half. And then they were like, oh, it's like a 5-5 game. Let's get him back in, and we ended up losing, whatever. The kid is so good. He's so good. I love watching him play. I think his best lacrosse is still ahead of him, too, as he kind of becomes a dominant player for the Nittany Lions. I think they're hungry. I think the same thing that, you know, kind of pushes the Jays to be like, hey, we should have lost that game and figured it out. I think the opposite goes for Penn State, and that they're going to be hungry for this one. Senior day, all the things that Dixie said. I think they put it together and get one against kind of a reeling, what's Michigan, like 4-7, a kind of a tough Michigan team that needs one. But I think the Nittany Lions got one out and needed a little bit more.
Yeah, Michigan snapped a 7-game losing streak with the win over Rutgers last weekend. And another big question mark, will Hunter Aquino play in this game? He did go through warmups against Johns Hopkins, but he did not play in the game. Is this the game he makes his return?
I wish that last possession against Hopkins was like, did they have 2 block shots? It was a very, really strange possession at the end.
Yeah, and the kid from Hopkins who blocked the shot was Worry Calhoun, who the week before was part of the turnover that allowed Rutgers to tie the game late. So that had to feel really good for Worry Calhoun.
I couldn't believe when Hopkins turned the ball over. The guy came out of the timeout with the ball. They had it for like 4 seconds before they turned it over. Come on. I've had flashbacks to a bunch of my other favorite teams losing that way. I'm going to take the Nittany Lions in a big – I think the Nittany Lions win this one handily. And I think you're saying the same thing, Josh, right?
I am. Correct. Yes.
Okay. On to a game, a neutral site game. Number 12, Duke, is 8-2. Take on number 7, Cornell, 6-3. This should be a really good game. It's going to be in Brookville, New York at Long Island University. It's at 2 o'clock. Fans can see it on the – Corrigan Sports Network, and the Big Red.
Gosh, Davey's favorite.
Yeah, listen, New Balance All-America.
The Big Red are 1.5 goal favorites in this game. Josh, what do you think about this one?
I feel like Duke, I can't figure them out. It's funny, I've now that I'm in Philly, I'm so exposed and I'm so biased towards some of these Philly kids, where I used to be so biased towards the Baltimore kids. The Ortlieb kid has been so good as a freshman for them. I mean, he was unbelievable at Malvern. His last year, they had, you know, there's like 3 Malvern freshmen who are all at Duke. He's been such a bright spot for them. He's just fit into that offense so well. I've watched a decent amount of Duke, and every time I feel like I turn on the TV, it's just Ben Johnson shooting. So I just feel like they need like a little more dimension to their game. I don't know if the neutral site has any impact. I don't feel like I've seen enough of Cornell. I'm obviously familiar with Goldstein and some of their top guys, but Duke coming off a loss to Virginia too, right? So I think Duke is going to be feeling it a little bit. I think those guys figure out a way to pull one out.
I think the loser of this game, I mean, listen, I don't want to say they're toast because they still have their conference tournaments. Cornell's in great shape to make the Ivy League tournament. Duke obviously will be in the ACC tournament, but we're talking Duke, an RPI of 13. And guess what their strength of schedule is? We're talking about Duke here. 39.
How is that even possible?
Zero top 20 wins. Okay. How is it possible? They haven't played anybody.
Yeah.
Their best win is Denver. And unfortunately, the Pioneers have hit the skids the last couple weeks. So their metrics are going south. Cornell, 15 RPI, 27 strength of schedule. They have the win over Penn is, I'm sorry, Princeton is their big feather in their cap. Look, Duke, you know, they need this game. They've got to get a quality win. And neutral site, going back to Coach Danowski's stomping grounds in Long Island. You know, the interesting thing in their losses to Syracuse and Virginia, you know, Aiden McGuire is regarded as a top short stick D-middy in the country, and he got exposed a little bit the last couple weeks. Again, playing some really good teams, but, you know, he's been taken to task. I think he steps up and has a big game. When you talk about Cornell, Willem Firth has really emerged for the Big Red in addition to Ryan Goldstein. But again, you're talking about these guys are in Bubble City right now. And I know we have a few weeks left, but now's the time for Duke to plant their flag and get a big dub.
All right, Josh, sounds like you're taking Duke in this one.
I am.
This is the first time I'm going to break from you. I'm going to take the Big Red. And I think that they've just been tested and they've played well on the road too. So I'm going to take Cornell. All right. Our last of like the first group of games, and it's a big rivalry game. Number 5, Harvard, who's been outstanding this season. They're 9-1, 3-0 in the Ivy League. Will travel to Yale to take on the number 17 ranked Yaleys, who are 5-4 overall, but playing well the last couple of weeks. They're 2-2 in the Ivy League. This game's at 3:30. Fans catch it on ESPN Plus. And Harvard comes into the game as a narrow 1.5 goal favorite. Dixie.
Harvard sitting pretty with an RPI of 7. Yale's at 20. But that win over Cornell last week for the Bulldogs was gigantic. This was a team that came in to the season with a lot of question marks. I watched 6 of their former players participate Brad Sharp for Yale is Yale transferred to Ohio State, unfortunately, is injured and did not play. But Logan Solberg and then Jake Cohen, the pole. Then you got the 3 transfers from Yale playing for Maryland. But this Yale team has grown up in a hurry. I think they're getting better. Talking with Andy Shea in the offseason, he's like, yeah, I actually like kind of get to coach again because I got a lot of new guys. You know, they're not hearing the same things over and over again. It's fresh. It's new. You know, Harvard, again, the RPI 7, but the strength of schedule surprisingly at 33. But they do own wins over Syracuse, BU, and Penn. But this would be obviously you're jockeying for, for Ivy League, supremacy. And Harvard right now is 3-0 in the conference. Yale's 2-2. So Harvard at 3-0. Obviously would take another big step forward to be the number one seed. But this conference is so tight. The talent is really, really strong. And these teams play each other incredibly well. This will be another intense matchup between the physicality of Yale versus the slickness, if you will, of Harvard.
Harvard's 9-1. Like when was the last time there was this good of a Harvard team? I can't even recall. They've had so many good players, but I feel like this is like the most complete team they've had. And anytime you get like an Andy Shea and Jerry Byrne, two of the like absolute legends in the game, hard-nosed, tough coaches, you know it's going to be a great game. I think because of Coach Shea, Yale's in this one. But I just feel like the Malone kid is just a scoring machine. Jack Spidell might be, he's must-see TV. He's unbelievable. A 91 kid, he's unreal. I just think they have like 4 or 5 kids all with over 25 points. They're just deep right now. They're figuring it out. They're playing well. I think the Crimson Tide, or is it Crimson Tide? Yeah, Crimson. Crimson Tide? I'm getting my Alabama football. I'm getting my Alabama football mixed up with them, which is not a good thing. But I think Harvard takes it. I think Harvard takes this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think Harvard just has too many dudes, and they're experienced. They're experienced dudes, and I'll take Harvard as well in this rivalry game. All right, before we get to the marquee games of our previews, I want to remind everybody that the Deep Flying Dixie podcast is brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. When I worked at Inside Lacrosse, we had an event called the Day of Rivals that featured Hopkins versus Maryland and this next matchup, Navy versus Army. Navy comes into this game 7-4, 3-2 in the Patriot League. Army's ranked number 15 in the country coming into this game. They're 8-3 and 3-2. So this is a big game in the Patriot League standings. This game will be on at 2:30. Fans can catch it on the CBS Sports Network. Is our guy Evan Washburn doing this game? Friend of the pod?
You know, I'm not sure. I've been in touch with Evan this week, but I didn't ask him if he had the game. He had a full plate with the NCAA basketball tournament. Now that's over, I would not be surprised if Evan's on the call.
I saw they were doing the towel thing. Do you guys notice the towel celebrations? Like when they were doing the player of the game, people just stacked towels on.
For the March Madness. Yeah.
And then they started putting on Evan Washburn. I'm like, don't mess up his hair. Don't mess up
He's got maybe the most perfect hair I've ever seen. There is a video out there of Evan. It wasn't an empty arena, but it was an empty court, and he was shooting just by himself. And I guess the way that they edited the video together, he was having a rough shooting day. So it was pretty funny. I sent it to him, and we had a good laugh about it. It was, Evan's great.
Yeah, he is great. All right, back to this game. Army's a 2.5 goal favorite. Dixie, I'll give you your thoughts on this one first.
You know, you talk about an up and down team. You know, that's Navy. I love A.J. Marsh. He can play pole. He can play close. You know, they've got Haley, the attackman, is a terrific quarterback. But they've just been a little uneven this season. But you can say the same thing about Army. And I guess, theoretically, you can just throw everything out the window when it comes to the Star game. What this game means, the intensity, the tradition, you know, who's just going to make that one extra play? You know, who's it going to be? And you look at star power. I mean, I still think I voted Evan Plunkett still a first-team All-American midfielder. His brother Hill's terrific. I've seen Sean Byrne play a couple of times this year. The latest was against North Carolina, where he kept Army in the game. You know, again, this is just this is huge for the Patriot League is just crazy right now. Loyola leads the conference with a 4-1 record. But then you've got BU, Army, Navy, all at 3-2. So I anticipate this game. I think this game's going to be more high scoring than the last few editions. Both of these offenses can get it done. Defenses tend to struggle a little bit at times. I give the goaltending edge to Army, but this will be a terrific game, as it normally is.
It's funny. I'm looking at, this website. It's called InsideLacrosse.com. It's where I get all my scores and stats. And I'm looking at it right here as I pull up. Army's biggest win, I guess, is what, Michigan and Rutgers are two big wins for them. I'm with you, Dixie. The Plunkett kid is unbelievable. He's so much fun to watch. I remember watching him in high school. He's unbelievable. Never thought he would be as good as he is, though. This game's like a coin flip, right? It doesn't matter what sport it is. It doesn't matter, men, women. It doesn't matter what it is. And to your point, the Patriot League is just so all over the place. I mean, you have Army has lost to Lafayette. There's just been so much chaos. I don't know which way I lean. I think because of maybe the favor in the cage, I go Army. But I also agree with you, Dix. I think it's going to be a little more high scoring than their kind of goals for and goals against have been. I think it's going to be a, 11-12 sort of game. I lean Army, but I don't really know why.
Well, Army's RPI is 10. Their strength of schedule is top 20, 17. And you're looking at Navy and those metrics, RPI 25 and schedule of 28. So, but they do have that win over Penn State, which is gigantic. Army's best wins, Rutgers and Yale. Army did beat Yale a little earlier this season. But, like you mentioned, they lost the game to Lafayette. So.
I am also going to take Army, Josh. You're taking Army. I like the cadets home. And I like that Army's won three straight in this series, and I think they make it
really
four in a row. Oh, it's Navy!
Wow, what an accomplishment that would be for their seniors, right? Holy mackerel, to run the table against Naval Academy.
Moving on to the next game, and this is a great one. This has great tradition. Number 9 Virginia playing great, 7-4, 2-0 in the ACC, will take on the number 6th ranked Syracuse Orange, 9-3 overall, 1-1 in the ACC. This game will be in the Dome. It starts at 4 p.m. It'll be on ESPNU, and the Orange come into this game as a 1.5 goal favorite. JD5, I'll let you have the first crack at this one.
Man, what a turnaround for Virginia. They've been just abysmal in the beginning of the season, and they've really just righted the ship. They found gritty ways to win. I feel like Brendan Millen has really come on strong in the last couple of weeks, so I'd love to see him carry the ball even a little bit more. He's dishing it from behind. I think he's really effective from behind the cage. And I think the Hopper kid is like, he is probably my favorite kid to watch in all of college across. The risks he takes, the way he can get up and down the field. I mean, he had that crazy turnover at the end of the game to give the ball back to the Cavaliers to go down and win it. Just the Sunderland, that Baltimore attack line of the Millens and Stuart Sunderland are finding ways to win. And then on the Cuse, man, that is Peyton Anderson, the big, is it 88, the big boy who's coming down the middle of the field. He's really come on strong too. I love watching him and just the dynamic way that Leo and Spolina, and then you have the Roa kid just stepping it down, shooting it a million miles an hour. Both these teams can just score in so many different ways. This is maybe one of the games I think I'm looking forward to most of the weekend and maybe all season. I think it's going to be electric. I think it's going to be really high scoring. I think it's like a 16-15 kind of game. I think Mullen at the faceoff X for Syracuse is a huge difference. I think he edges them out a little bit there and gives them an advantage. But I think it's going to be an amazing game. I don't understand all the, you know, I think Joey Spolina has a big coming out, not coming out game. He's always there. He's always playing great. I expect him to have a really big game though as well.
Game will be in the Dome, and it's Cooper Boardman and Paul Carcaterra will have the call. I've worked with Cooper the last couple years on Westwood One Radio. He is the voice. I don't want to get this wrong because I haven't checked in with Cooper, but I know he had been the voice of their AAA baseball team, the Boston Red Sox, the Paul Tuckett Red Sox. Does a great job. Okay, Joey Spolina, McCabe Millen, what do they have in common?
Neither of them had a point last week.
Both of them have double donuts last weekend. So much like Eric Spanos a few weeks ago when he went 0-for against Penn State, they're both due. What that'll look like, I'm not really sure. Syracuse needs Joey Spolina to be productive in a points fashion. Virginia doesn't need McCabe Millen to be a point producer. They need him to be a creator. And that's what he's been the last few weeks, and he's been incredible. I was there with Kark calling their game against Towson where they just got decimated at home. And they could not stop the Rooster, Alex Roussel, amongst other players for Towson. Then I had him a couple weeks later. They're playing Dartmouth. And you have Sean Kerwin coming back to Charlottesville with a Dartmouth team that had just played Harvard really, really tight. And we're expecting a great game. And Virginia throttled the Big Green. I mean, just ran them off the field. So Virginia's playing with an incredible level of confidence right now. The team that everybody thought was going to go winless in the ACC is now 2-0. Wins over Notre Dame and Duke the last couple weeks. RPI of 8, strength of schedule of 4. Syracuse, I mean, Dan, we've talked about it week in, week out. Their schedule is ridiculous. I mean, they've got wins over BU, Hopkins, Georgetown, Penn, Duke, Maryland. Like, that's a who's who in terms of wins, and a strength of schedule of 3, RPI of 4. I mean, this game, everybody points to, oftentimes, I believe it was like 1997, the 22-21 game in the Dome. Shoot, man. I mean, I think end of the first quarter, this is going to be like 8-7, and then teams are going to settle in, and it's going to, you know, they can't keep up that pace the entire time. I do agree on John Mullen. He has struggled against better teams this year, but he's still an animal. But I like the way Andrew Greenspan has come on lately for Virginia, and they have a three-headed monster with Greenspan, Mayer, and Metz. So they can mix it up a little bit there. It'll be a terrific game. It'll be a great game in the Dome. And I guess after last weekend, Syracuse will be happy to get back on AstroTurf.
I think I said Jimmy Mullen. That's my art guy at New Balance. So shout out to Jimmy. Apologize to John.
I'm sure John Mullen has a brother named Jimmy. He's so...
Well, it's interesting that you say Jimmy Mullen's the art director. Have you ever seen the ink on John Mullen? It's impressive. Yeah. He has got some sweet tattoos.
He's got some edge.
He does. Good guy, too. I met him last year, championship weekend, interviewed him in preparation for their semifinal game against Maryland. Good guy.
Where are your tattoos, Dix? Where are yours? Let's see some of yours.
I keep mine hidden.
Smart.
They're not for your eyes, Josh Davey.
Smart.
I'm not sure if I should keep all that stuff in or...
You're the producer.
Listen back.
Butthole.
So, Josh, we got to make a prediction here. I will start by saying this as a Hopkins fan. I don't like either of these teams, but this may be the game that I'm most interested in watching all weekend. I think it'll be really entertaining. I feel like Syracuse is ready for their bounce back game, and Spallina, he's got to produce in this game. He has to. I'm gonna take the orange in this one. What about you, Josh?
Same. I'm rolling with 22.
Okay. Can't believe it's taken this long, but we have a 1-versus-2 matchup this week. Number one UNC, the fifth team to move to the number one spot in the Kane media poll this season. We'll take on number two Notre Dame in South Bend at 5 o'clock. You can catch it on the ACC network. This is going to be an incredible game. And I will let you start on this one, Dixon.
Yeah, 1-versus-2, and not only in the rankings, but in the RPI, 1 and 2. Carolina, number 5 in strength of schedule. Notre Dame, I think a big narrative coming out of their win against Richmond last weekend was we play the best schedule in the country. I'm not here to dump on that, but their strength of schedule is 21. So, but they own wins over Georgetown, Ohio State, Maryland, and Richmond. They're their biggest. We talked about Syracuse wins. Carolina so far has taken down Hopkins, Penn State, Army, Penn, Harvard, Syracuse. Carolina's just been playing at an incredibly high level the last couple of weeks. Brady Wambach tilts the field in their favor. It'll be interesting. Notre Dame uses a two-headed monster in Aiden Diaz-Matos and Tyler Spano. Diaz-Matos hasn't played the last couple of weeks. And Wambach has just been absolutely lights out. So much like we talked about Carolina-Syracuse and the matchups we could see, I mean, we're going to see Sean Light on Owen Duffy. And those two may just cancel themselves out. So who then can make plays? If you're Carolina, the midfield's been really productive lately, all season, really. You got to attack Notre Dame shorties because Will Donovan is an eraser at the long stick midi. But Carolina has shown they've got 6-7 scoring threats out of the midfield. So how do you match up there? Josh Marcus, the freshman goalie for Carolina, has been a little bit of a question mark, both in terms of he doesn't get tested all that much because Wambach wins so many faceoffs, and also has let a few goals in that maybe he shouldn't have. He was terrific last weekend against Syracuse, even with the possession disparity. He still made 15 saves against a really good, as you said, Josh, orange offense. I think you give a little slight edge to Notre Dame playing at Arlotta. Expect a big crowd. Expect, but Carolina fans, they're going to travel. You know, they're coming to Touchdown Jesus. So this is going to be a great game. It'll be Mike Corey and Jules Hennenberg that have this this assignment. And I am jealous.
Josh?
I think the thing that sticks out the most is just all those teams that you said North Carolina's played. Not that any team is going to be necessarily scared to go anywhere, but you're going into Arlotta. It's 1-versus-2, the game of the week in a game, like you said, where there's, 14 of the top 20 are playing each other. I mean, I think Carolina's averaging like just under 15 goals a game. They feel almost unstoppable when they have the ball on offense. And when Wambach's giving them those possessions, I mean, I just have a hard time with anyone slowing them down. And I just don't know if Notre Dame has the offense to keep up with UNC's ability to score. I mean, if it's not Owen Duffy, it's Petra Mala, it's Gary Merrill. They're so deep at the midfield. They're getting guys who I feel like are starting to step up. You're seeing Harshberger do a lot more now as well. It just feels like Carolina is having this moment and they have this kind of like swagger about them. And I don't think it matters where they play and who they play. They're going to get theirs, and I just don't know if Notre Dame's going to be able to keep up with them. So I'm leaning towards the Tar Heels here.
The interesting thing with the Notre Dame Richmond game was Notre Dame right off the bat, right off the opening faceoff, stuck it. And I think they got up, what, 3-4 nothing. Richmond scored, and they were moving the ball really, really well. But Notre Dame threw the challenge flag, and it was the right move because I believe the shot clock had expired.
It was 2-0.
Okay, it was only 2-0.
Yeah, Richmond scored. It would have been like a really important goal. And
oh, big time.
They came right down, scored, and make it 3-0 when they.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It just it really seemed to take a lot of wind out of the sails of Richmond, because they were on their heels, and then they score that goal. Okay, hey, I'm sorry, I watched so much lacrosse last weekend. I don't know which end is which, but yeah. So Notre Dame came out really fired up last week with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
I think Notre Dame will still have that chip on their shoulder, and as you mentioned, Dix, it's a 5 o'clock game at Arlotta. Like they're going to come out pumped up. If UNC can withstand that, and they can with Wombat, they can win faceoffs and control possessions. And I'm going to stick with the Tar Heels. Josh persuaded me, and I'm going to go with the Heels too.
Persuaded you do a lot worse before, Mr. Flynn. I'm trying to look on DraftKings right now. What is the line for this game?
The Irish are 1.5 goal favorites, and it's 22 favorites at
home. Feels like just because they're home, maybe. Yeah. 22.5. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome, awesome game. That's like, I got to get my kids out of the house Saturday night so I can post up on the couch and watch this one.
And can I also say, as before we preview this last game, how excited this schedule is to me, where I see all these great games and it's like noon, 1, 2, 3:30, 2:30, 4, 5.
It's your dream.
That's not all at 1 o'clock or noon. I love it. Yeah. You can actually watch a majority of these games are on, you know, quad box. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. All right, our final game of the week. Dixie, you'll be calling this game. Number 19, Rutgers, at number 8, Maryland. Rutgers is 8-4, 1-2 in the Big Ten. Maryland is 5-4, 2-1 in the Big Ten. So game's at 6 o'clock. You'll be on the call on BTN Network. The Terps come into this game. The Terps come into this game as a 3.5 goal favorite. It seems like a lot, considering that the over-under is 19.5.
Yeah, both teams have shown sparks offensively, but also incredible lulls. And Rutgers, they're 1-2 in the Big Ten. RPI of 16, strength of schedule of 11. Both games they've lost, they had 3-goal leads in the first half. And then second half was a completely different story. The win against Hopkins, they had to come back. Colin Cardillo, really nice player. Hayden Sommer, who scored the game winner against Hopkins in double overtime in Piscataway, missed last weekend's game. And also their faceoff man, Scarpelli, was out, and Michigan took full advantage. Now you're going up against maybe the best faceoff man in the Big Ten in Henry Dodge. So expect Dodge to do his work and get Maryland some extra possessions. You know, Maryland needed overtime. And Riley Reese, long pole, who's just been a great story, great kid, got underneath of the Buckeye defense and stuck the game winner. But Maryland, I think they know that was a huge win for them, because had they lost it, obviously the on-field ramifications, but that was their senior night. And you would have lost that game on your senior night. And I do believe Maryland honored their seniors after the game versus pregame. I mean, Josh, you've coached. I mean, nothing sucks worse than having your seniors recognized after you lose.
Yep.
You know, so that was big for a number of reasons. Maryland right now sitting with an RPI of 11, strength of schedule of 8. And again, this is just jockeying for position. The Big Ten tournament will be in Piscataway this year. There's no way Rutgers, I mean, we saw it last year when Michigan hosted and they did not qualify for the tournament. Year before, Ohio State hosted, they did not qualify for that tournament in 2024. There is no way Brian Brecht and the Scarlet Knights want to be watching that Big Ten tournament being played at their place. Expect Rutgers to come out with an outstanding effort. And it'll be me and Joe B, 6 o'clock, Big Ten Network, Saturday night. To wash it all down, boys.
It's in College Park.
It's in College Park, my man.
I like Rutgers in this game. I feel like, why do I feel like every Sunday night lacrosse game is Rutgers, Maryland? I don't know why. If I just think back, it's always Rutgers night. Okay, my bad. Any nighttime game that's Big Ten, I just feel like is always Rutgers, Maryland. What's the 88, number 88? The Colin, I'm going to butcher his last name.
Colin Cardilla.
He's a stud. He's a dude. He's good. Dan, you were talking about dudes earlier. He's a dude. He's got like, I think he's got like 56 points. He's 28 something goals. He's a monster. I just got this weird vibe about Maryland. I can't figure out, like, they don't know who to go to. They don't have that guy. Spanos is awesome. I love watching him play. I remember when he was wasn't he like the first kid to commit ever too? Dan, you and I were at IL at the time. He was like one of the first kids to commit. I feel like I've seen him play 10 million times. He's so good. I just feel like Rutgers goes into College Park and pulls it off. I just feel like they have a little bit of an edge, to your point, Dixie, about them not wanting to be watching the sidelines on their home field, the Big Ten tournament. I feel like they need it a little bit, not more than Maryland, but they just have this like grit about them that I feel like they go in there on, you know, with the lights on. It's not Bird Stadium. I don't even know what it is anymore, but they go in there and they take CQ it to them. I think this is a Scarlet Knights victory.
Okay. Let me, and I don't want to dissuade you, but let me remind you, last year when Rutgers beat Maryland, that was the first time they ever beat Maryland as members of the Big Ten. And it was their first victory over Maryland since 1980.
And that makes me like it even more, Mark Dixon.
There you go. All right. I like it. I like a man of conviction.
I love that Josh is taking Rutgers. I'm going to remind you that the Terps are 3.5 goal favorites. You could just take the 3.5 points, but I'm taking the Terps. And if picking them straight up money line, I'm going the Terps in this game at home. I think they're starting to figure things out and getting some better chemistry. But I think Rutgers keeps it really close in that one. All right. There you have it. We have 9 games. We've 48 minutes into this.
We did it. We covered them.
We made it through. But it's time for the best part of the podcast. Earlier in the show, we talked a little Baltimore Ravens football with our player guest, Alex Ross from Penn State, Annapolis native, who loves the Ravens. JD, you already mentioned how much you live and breathe and die with the Baltimore Ravens. So let's talk some of the Ravens.
I thought you were about to bring Ray Lewis out and he was going to be like our fourth guest here for a minute or something.
You know what this conversation, and this is like the first time I think I've thought about this ever. We like need a give and go theme song. Like, you know, like I know we have our song for the show, like, you know, but we need like our own give and go, like, you know.
I think you're right. Maybe we should have like a little pre-production.
Yeah, let's think about that.
If listeners have any ideas, please let us know. But here's our topic. I do want to get Josh's thoughts on the new head coach. I mean, it's a new era. It is a new era of Baltimore Ravens football. We've had Harbaugh for 20 years or something like that. But the question is, who are your 3 all-time favorite Baltimore Ravens?
Oh my gosh, what an incredible question. Man.
Dixie can go first.
No. Yeah. Well, let's go one for one. Why don't we do that? That's fair. The three of us.
You could do like a little snake draft or something if you want to.
That's what I'll
go first.
Snake draft. We'll let our guest take the first one, and then you can't take the same person. You got to pick a different guy.
So then, like, whoever goes third will go twice back towards the front?
Yeah.
Look at us.
You have to be hard to not say Ray for number one. I'll never forget, although I did have many beverages in Lot H prior to the game, that last game against the Colts in the playoffs on the way to a Super Bowl, him coming out of the tunnel, insane. I mean, you got to go 5-2, number one.
Dixie? Me or you, Dan?
It's my turn.
Me? I'll let you go. I mean, that's cool.
My favorite player of all time is the man who covers more ground than the oceans. Number 20, Ed Reed.
See, you took mine. That was going to be mine. I actually even have a 20 jersey.
Same.
Says Dixon on it, but, you know. Dan Fouts is the only other man's jersey I wear.
All right, so you can't take Ed Reed. That's my first.
Yeah.
Who are you going to pick?
You know what? I'll go Steve Smith, wide receiver.
Wow. Steve Smith. Dixie loves Steve Smith.
I do love Steve Smith. He was great. And then I got to go again, right?
Yeah.
God, there's a lot to choose from. I'll go Anquan Boldin. I'll stick with the wide receiver tip. Just an incredible, so tough. And I think that when he left the team after that Super Bowl win, because remember the Ravens let him walk and he went to the Niners. I don't think they really had any idea the impact of his departure was going to have on the receiving corps. So Anquan.
Okay. Back to me. I'm going to take number five, a man who I was a fan of Joe Flacco way before he played for the Baltimore Ravens when he was a Delaware Bluehead, and probably saw him play in person a dozen times before he even became a Raven. And then he's still in the league. He's out last.
Oh yeah, Oklahoma. He just re-signed with the Bungles.
Yeah, he's the man. I'm going to take Joe Flacco, family man. Joe Flacco.
He is a family man.
I like Joe.
All right, so then I get to go twice in my last two then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Kyle Bowler and who else?
Kyle Bowler and, yeah. There's so many names that pop into my head. Kyle Bowler. God, I would never want to relive those days. I'm leaning towards Todd Heap right now. I feel like my core childhood, like my core years of like going to the games with my dad and my brother were just like Todd Heap, just the era of Todd Heap. He was just the absolute man. In that one game, I don't remember, it was against the Chargers where he, at the end of the game, he sticks the ball over the line to win. So I'll go Heap. And I don't want to go recency bias. Lamar is probably my favorite player ever of all time. But I don't want to go Lamar.
You can, because I was going to go Lamar.
Well, I'm going to go RIP the Goose. I'm going to go Tony Siragusa.
Wow. Okay.
I'm trying to age myself a little bit and not go, you know, the new Ravens. Okay. Although I have, there's a million honorable mentions, but I'll go Tony Siragusa to round it out. When he sat on Rich Gannon, which basically got us to the Super Bowl.
True.
I'll never forget.
All right. So you have Ray Lewis, Todd Heap, and Tony Siragusa.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah, it is a good lineup. All Super Bowl winners, right? Did Heap win a Super Bowl?
I don't think so.
I think he was the first.
He was the draft right after they won in 2001.
Yeah. I'm going to say I am going to go with my current favorite player for lots of reasons is Kyle Hamilton. He's just so good. If that guy stays healthy, he'll be a Hall of Famer. And that's my pick.
Great player.
So I have Ed Reed, Flacco, and Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah. I'll go Lamar. Not only because he's just electric and dynamic. I know he's been a lightning rod of controversy, especially last season and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But I actually was kind of done with the Ravens after the whole kneeling in England, that whole kneeling during the national anthem against the Jaguars and all that kind of thing. In addition to, you know, just the police blotter was just full of Ravens at one point. And Lamar comes in and plays the way that he played. And just, I think he energized the fan base and wowed us with a lot. And then, you know, a lot of people will argue that his personality and his demeanor is kind of worn thin. But at that time, and you know, to me, that's not the case. But at that time, it was so refreshing just to have a guy who just was so happy to be in the league, doing his thing, making plays, really making plays that no one else was capable of. So Lamar would be my number three.
You mean the guy who's won two MVPs and should have won the year Josh Allen won?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that guy.
He's real good.
But remember, when he came in the league, he was the last pick of the first round. It was still Joe Flacco's team. And what, Flacco got hurt? That's what gave Lamar his opportunity.
I think it was like
much.
Was it,
what's that?
No, I'm just thinking. I remember the game. I remember being at the game when Lamar, like his first start. I think it was the Raiders. I remember being at the game. Yeah, I mean, you go from Joe Flacco, who's Dan's, you know, on Dan's list, but as boring as a quarterback as you could possibly have.
Yeah.
So the most electric. To your point, Dix, he completely changed the face of the organization.
Yeah, but also remember Joe Flacco's very first game. Who did he succeed? Was that like the Tony Banks you know, like he those was 07. Guys.
So it was whoever the quarterback was in 07.
Was that
Bowler? I think there was a year we had like, didn't we have like Trent Green for a year?
Yeah. We never had Trent Green.
No, who do we have that I'm thinking of?
Elvis Gerback.
Different Chief. That's who I'm thinking of.
That was after
Elvis
the Super Bowl.
Right after the Super Bowl. But yeah, you're right.
But remember.
Like Tony Banks and Bowler and
yeah,
a number of guys.
But remember, maybe Flacco was after.
No, we had McNair. McNair. Was it McNair? Yeah, it was McNair was the quarterback in 06.
I love McNair as when he was Ravens quarterback. I do. Yeah. And what a tragedy. But remember Flacco's very first game was against the Bungles at M&T. And he was fantastic.
He caught that pass. Remember? They had a play where he caught a pass like at the goal line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Legend was born that day.
It's big unbelievable.
Question. Big question, D-Fly. Is Joe Flacco elite?
Won a Super Bowl. Spent a ton of money. He's been playing for
nine
decades.
Years.
Yeah, I'll say it. Yeah, he's elite.
I'm with you.
He's elite.
He's elite at making kids, too.
He's prolific.
Yeah.
Prolific. Yeah. That seems like a good place to stop. A reminder that the D-Fly Nation podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. Special thanks to this week's guests, Alex Ross and Josh Davey. Do us a favor, like us on your favorite podcast app, subscribe, and leave a review. But most importantly, tell a friend and share the love. You can forward this podcast to your people through Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It's really easy to do, and it's free. Give us a shout-out. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DFly and Dixie. Thanks for listening, and as always, enjoy the games.